Good morning and welcome all to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, October 14th, 2020, the 10 a.m. Vision for You meeting. We are reading from the Big Book on page 11. We are on the fourth paragraph down, which begins with, "Had this power originated in him?" Today's readers are Penny L.C. on the 12 steps, Anita L. on the 12 traditions, and reading the text are Robin P. and Margaret D. And our newcomer greeter will be Christina L., and announcements will be given by Leslie M. at the end of the meeting. The reference numbers for the prior two meetings. Yesterday's 10 a.m. East Coast meeting, the reference number is 15,536 or 15,536. And for Wednesday, October 14th, 7 a.m.'s meeting, which is this morning, the reference number is 15,544 or 15544. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We have self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Penny L.C. to read the 12 steps of OA. Thank you, Penny.
Thank you, Kathy, for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pat?
Thank you, Penny L.C. Anita L., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Yes, hi. Good morning, everybody. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much. Have a great day, everyone, and I pass.
Thank you, Anita L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we will resume our study of the Big Book on page 11, paragraph 4, and I will ask Robin P. to get us started. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, Kathy. Hi, everybody. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Tulum, Mexico, and had this power originated in him? Obviously, it had not. There had been no more power in him than there was in me at that minute, and there was none at all. Well, you know, I was reading this morning, and I went back to the previous paragraph, because the power that they're talking about, that he's talking about, is, you know, his human will has failed, and the power greater than himself and that, you know, Evie had been catapulted into a new dimension, a level of life better than the best he had ever known. And that's my experience too. The power, if I were powerful on my own, I would have solved compulsive overeating. I would have been powerful over food, which I am not. I would have been powerful over everything in my life, which I am not. And, you know, that power originating in me, when I first came into the program, I saw God on the walls, and I was a devout atheist. I was raised that way. And I looked up and I went, oh no, these people have just substituted one crutch for another, and I'm so desperate. And somebody just said, just believe in any power greater than the God that you already have, which was food. You know, food was my God. And that power did not work for me. And what I love so much about, you know, I can't, God can, I'll let him. I am powerless. God is powerful. I will let myself be in God's care and his power. You know, I love that the third step says that, you know, the care of God. It's not the abuse of God. I grew up in a lot of child abuse. I had to find a God that was a loving, caring, higher power and a power greater than myself and the addiction. And it's such a miracle for me, this program, and reaching out and reaching up. You know, I always think of that God is this power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity, and that I can turn my will and my life over to his care. And that, you know, the 11th step makes it so, all these steps guide me so much so that I can live and live without, I have 3 meals a day. And before, it was Russian roulette in my life. All I could do was eat or not eat, destroy my entire day with food or not. And now I just have my meals and I get on with my life. And I'm powerless over so many things in my life right now. We just moved to Tulum, Mexico from the U.S. And wow, it's a lot, you know, and I'm dealing with things with my invention company and just so many things, but I can live the steps in every area of my life, and thank God. And I work the steps. I have a sponsor and sponsor people, and that living in 10, 11, and 12 is my solution today for my powerlessness over everything in my life. And I'm so eternally grateful. God bless everybody with a very abstinent, blessed day. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Robin P., for getting us started. Okay, I'm going to take names now, except I want to first say we ask that you limit your share to every third day on this meeting in order that others may share their experiences too. So if you haven't shared Monday or Tuesday on this meeting, we'd welcome your share. Who would like to share?
Donna B.
Donna B.
Deb E.
Is that Kathy E?
Deb E.
Gad E? Okay. Who else?
Liz T.
Liz T. Liz T. Who else? Anybody else want to share? Okay, we'll start with these three, and I'm sure others will be inspired to share later.
Penny L.C.
Oh, Penny, great. Thanks, Penny. Penny L.C. Okay, let's start with Donna B. Please share with us, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. I'm calling from Denver. I do spell my name D-A-N-A. One of the things that strikes me in this paragraph specifically, and that comes up numerous times, is the word obviously. There's a paragraph in the book in which the word obviously is a complete sentence. And I'm reflecting on what has been obvious to me, especially when I first came into the rooms. What was obvious to me is that I was binging and purging by way of vomiting, laxatives, over-exercising, pills. And what was obvious to me was that my life was a mess. It was obvious to me that I was binging, and every time I was binging, I was telling myself, this will never happen again. This is the last time. I'll eat everything in sight. I'll start over tomorrow. Everything will change. So my empty promises were also obvious to me. When I came into the rooms, it was obvious to me that there were people who were living differently, who were doing the best that they could to aspire to the promises of the program. I didn't necessarily see the type of recovery that I see in those who use the Big Book, but I did see something that was better than the way that I was living with my life. So it became obvious to me that I needed to do what they were doing. And my life did change and it improved. Then I was exposed to the study of the Big Book, and it became obvious to me that there was more. There was more that I could do. There was more that I could experience. There was more likelihood that the promises could come true in my life. It was obvious to me that recovery was working in the lives of other people. And the most important thing is it became obvious to me that it was probable that if I did what they did, I could experience what they did. And today what's obvious to me is that when I work with a newcomer, I have absolute faith and trust and belief that this can happen for them too. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Dana B. Gab E., please share with us.
Hi there. It's actually Deb, D-E-B-E.
Oh, sorry, Deb.
Recovered. That's okay. Recovered. And Israel, happy to be here today with you guys. So this first line, had this power originated in him? So that power had not originated in me. That's definitely a no. But had a connection been available to me, that was what I consider a part of my higher power that has always been inside of me. Was that always available to me? Yes, it was. And did that kind of originate in me? I feel like I was born with that possibility to connect. I just had no idea it existed, and I had no idea that that's what I needed. These last few words, you know, this was none at all. There was no power. And there was no power in me, and there remains no power in me without, if I don't constantly seek that connection with my higher power, right? The only way I can get any power is by connecting with that part of my higher power that I believe is inside of me, and that is what allows me to connect to this, you know, the spiritual connection I need in order to recover every day. And as long as I was still in that thinking that I did have power, because as long as I kept thinking I had some ideas left about how I could control my eating, how I could control my weight, as long as I stayed in that mind frame, then, you know, I thought I had power. And as long as I thought I had power, there's no room for a higher power. You know, because if I'm thinking I've got all the power, then I don't need to ask for help. And the reality was that I really desperately did need to ask for help. And thankfully, once I was willing, you know, I found some willingness and acceptance and humility by working the 12 steps, then I was able to connect to a higher power. And that's a connection I need to seek out every single day. Or I lose it, because if I don't seek it out every day, I don't remain in a state of mind where I think I need help and I can get help. If I don't seek it out, then my ego and pride take over, and I think I can do it all myself. You know, and it might not happen right away, but I know that that's where I'm headed if I don't keep a strong connection and I don't keep working the steps and do this work. And with that, I will pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Deb E. Liz D., please share with us.
Hi there. Good morning. My name is Liz T. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater in Minnesota. And I've got a few lines jumping out at me there. His human aid has failed. Like myself, he had admitted complete defeat. Had this power originated in him? Obviously, it had not. So it just, you know, it's just admitting of complete defeat. That's step one. You know, I'm powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. And once the food is down and I'm working through the steps, you know, right around 6 and 7, I realize I'm powerless over myself. You know, myself will run riot and my life is unmanageable. And the food was but a symptom, you know, it was covering up the pain and the fears and the resentments for a short period of time until they, you know, they came back and in full speed ahead. And so that's what I'm seeing here is Evie brought him this message of hope, and he's seen a change in Evie. He's seen that psychic change in Evie, and we see that in our fellows too. You know, they're entirely abstinent and going through the steps process. It's that decision of the heart, you know. I spent many years in OA, you know, looking at the steps from an intellectual standpoint, and it wasn't until I took the steps at the level of the heart, and it talks about that in the next paragraph, that he's seen a miracle across the table from him, you know, and he's seen work in the human heart. And I see that with the steps process in me too. I'm on step 9, and I made amends to my daughter, and I noticed within a day that and I wasn't expecting an outcome, but I noticed within a day our relationship seemed better. And she actually came and laid her head on my shoulder for a while yesterday. And I'm thinking, what's gotten into her? You know, because I had harmed her and been, you know, used harsh words at her in the past. There was a barrier there. You know, there was a lack of trust or a lack of openness, and thanks to God and this process and my sponsor's guidance, that is being revealed, you know, that there's love between us and patience and tolerance and all the beautiful characteristics of God. So I just love this part of the book, and I love that psychic change being brought about in Evie and Bill seeing that and him having hope for that in himself too, but it started with the complete defeat. With that, I will pass.
Thanks so much, Liz T. Penny Elsie, please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. Again, this is Penny Elsie, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And as I reflect on these lines, I'm remembering that, you know, Bill had some contempt around the idea of God, and you know, how could there be a God with all that happened in the world, all the terrible things? But he's also hearing his friend and how he's transformed, and understands that, you know, his friend has found a God that works for him. But he's trying to figure out how that happened, and realizes the power did not come from Ebby himself. It obviously had to come from somewhere greater. But what is this power? The thing is that each of us gets to choose our power, and I so appreciated that. That made all the difference to me. The God of my understanding before program didn't work for me. And I had some difficulty with that, as well as Bill has difficulty. But I was able to see in others in program how they had found a God that worked for them. And it led me to understand that I could create the God that would work for me, the God of my understanding. And so it was a chance to reconcile old beliefs with new possibilities and become willing to let go of those old ideas and embrace a new concept. And I think that's what Bill is in the process of doing here. You know, Ebby's given him a spiritual solution, and he's trying to make it make sense for himself. And in that way, allowing himself that bit of openness and willingness to consider it. And when he's really honest about himself, honest toward the whole picture, he realizes, it might be worth a try. And I'm so grateful that I realized it was worth a try for me, because it has changed my life. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny Elsie, for your share. Okay, I'm now ready to take some more names. Who would like to share?
Martha O.
Martha O. Anyone else?
Elaine B.
Elaine B. Anyone else?
Anita L.
Anita L.
Santa H.
Elena C.
Okay, Santa H. and Elena C. And maybe one more. I think we might have time for one more. Okay, we'll wait and see. Martha O., please share with us.
Hi, this is Martha. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Oh, great. Martha Oak, very, very grateful. Recovered compulsive overeater and recovered bulimic in Vancouver, Canada. I just love this whole, thank you for the opportunity to share this morning on this beautiful meeting. And thank you to all of you who are doing service and everyone who's listening. And you're all connected to my heart, even if you don't know it. What I love about this whole page and this little tiny, perfect, beautiful paragraph I feel like we're sort of like real time living through Bill's spiritual transformation and seeing those clouds lift from his cluttered, self-willed mind, just like they did for my own. And it's so touching. You know, these two concepts that I think are so essential to our recovery are the witnessing of miracles, the sharing of our own miracles, and the witnessing of the miracles in other people's lives. And that idea that miracles happen every day. It's not something from the past, from stories. It's not spiritual mythology. These miracles walk amongst us. And also that idea of identification, because what I love in that paragraph is in the previous paragraph, he's just completely and utterly identified with everything that Ebby has shared. And then he's realizing, so how did this happen for him? You know, how was this hopelessness just completely lifted from Ebby? And he knows from what Ebby said that he had no power. I love that somebody that kept saying, repeating the word obviously, it's so clear to him. And for him, that moment for him to say that there had been no more power in him than there is in me. I am like him. And you know, to be able to borrow that faith by witnessing someone else's miracle, to know if I'm like him, that and if it happened for him, it can happen for me. And it feels like just such a turning point, you know, that it's the turning point between the hopelessness and hope to know he had no power, just like I have no power. Like, you know, I'm coming out of a horrible relapse. I'm now coming up on 5 months, and I just think back to it, and every day I was utterly powerless to do anything different. I was like a prisoner in a Groundhog Day that would never end, and to be lifted out of it. And now, you know, this is just such a good reminder that I'm living this miracle, and I need to just keep sharing it and hope that others can identify with what I went through, the way Bill identified with Abby, and the way I identify with this story. It's such a gift. You know, we are millions and millions of miracles around the world, and let us please keep sharing it. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Martha O. Elaine B., please share with us.
Thank you so much, Kathy K., and everybody on the line. And Abby, thank you, Abby, for going and knocking on this door. Somebody you knew was hopeless, somebody you knew was powerless, just like you had been. And you got to share with him your story, that this power had not originated in him. It was a door he opened. It was a path he took. It was steps he was willing to take in order to let a power greater than himself bring him to a place he could never get alone, no matter how much he wanted to, no matter how much he tried, just like me. I think of the condition I was in after a devastating relapse when I thought I had this thing. And what I forgot was that this thing has me, and that what I enjoy is a daily reprieve based on the maintenance and growth of a spiritual condition. But you can't maintain or grow something you have not got. So this was the crack of light in a place of darkness that came in through this friend who we used to have lots of very different kind of experiences with, just like me and my binge buddies. But now there was someone new in the room. There was something different in this experience. There was a power greater than himself doing in Abby what he could not do for himself. And so this is the hinge pin here. This is the beginning of a relationship above and beyond what we've known, above and beyond our own self-reliance, above and beyond our own human best thinking, best wishes, greatest ambition, best food plans, super nutritionist, wonderful sponsor, great meetings to attend. No, we need an individual power greater than ourselves to guide us and lead us and take us to a place where we can never go, in relationship with our food, in relationship with others, in relationship with our fears and our resentments, and just living day to day. And there's going to be so many more opportunities for him to see the power that this greater power could have in his life. And it's just so great to go back and revisit the time when we were powerless, just like I was, just in that awful, awful relapse. You know, I really thought I had it, but I knew I needed to crawl back to the rooms of OA. I needed to grab hold of the steps and this path to spiritual progress that I'm so happy to trudge with you all today. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Elaine B. Anita L., please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia, recovered for today by the grace of my higher power. So the first line, had this power originated in him. And I was relating into the fact that this morning I have a meditation buddy. She lives in New York. I live in Philadelphia area. So we meditate over the phone, and it's a wonderful experience, and we do it daily. And this morning, boy, did I ever feel my higher power, just the energy flowing in me. So had that originated in me originally? Absolutely not. So I was thinking, what did originate in me. I wasn't graced by this wonderful higher power who does bring miracles into my life. Of course, I'm like everybody else. I also have a lot of pain. However, the miracles and the time that I can enjoy those miracles and enjoy just everyday happiness outweigh the painful moments. So what originated in me when I was a little girl, it was loving the food. My great-grandmother was a fabulous cook in a B&B, and I could eat all I wanted. And that's where I think I learned food meant love, because she was so happy when I wanted more and more. So I learned the disease of more, and I wanted more, and then I needed more. And I think when I was in fourth grade, I crossed over that line from being a heavy eater to a compulsive overeater, needing and, you know, feeling like if I didn't have my sugar fix or whatever, I don't know how I could live. And anyway, so control. I thought I could control it. However, I was on every single diet, you know, the fad diets when I was younger, getting weight, going to pay and ways, all that, like many of us have experienced. And now coming to OA and learning there is something greater, something that can bring me, first of all, self-love, and more importantly, inner peace and serenity, and that is a power greater than myself, and that now I feel from within, and I can experience any time I reach out and ask for help. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Anita L. Santa H., please share with us.
Good morning, my fellows. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater living in the solution one day at a time. And thank you, Kathy, for your service and everyone who provides service on this meeting. And I am from New Jersey. Wow, this line, this short little paragraph does stem off from the previous paragraph. And what I see here is Bill talking from a recovered person perspective. And I believe this is the first spot where he talks about step two. And then we'll get more into it when he gets to we agnostics. And so he's letting me know up front that this power doesn't come from a human being. And he saw in Ebby a drastic transformation. And I have my notes that he was born again. He became a new creation in mind, body, and spirit. And so, well, for me, mind, body, and spirit. And so, you know, I see this as a vessel. And that's what I say to myself when I work in my clergy. I'm just a vessel for that light, you know, the God light to shine through me onto you. So whatever you receive from me, if not from me, is from a power greater than myself that is connecting with your higher power, and whatever resonates for you, I don't know. Someone is unmuted. And so, you know, this just reminds me of when I saw, in a way, I think it has a lot to do with Ebby's approach too, because Ebby did no ranting. He just placed his spiritual toolkit at his feet. Bill was able to identify into his story, but I think what he said, a simple religious idea, he never made it about him, and a program of action. And so this is, you know, so he's laying this toolkit at Bill's feet. And because Bill was desperate as well, he picked it up. And that's what my guide did. She didn't do no ranting. She didn't come off from a hilltop. She didn't even come off as if she was better than me, because she was a sponsor, someone that I needed to look up to. But it was someone that I respected, and I respected her recovery. And because I respected her recovery is how I was able to get recovered through the process of the simple idea that I lay out in this book. And thank you for allowing me to share. With that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Santa H. Elena C., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Elena C. from Greenville, South Carolina. I am very happy to be here today and to hear you all. And what struck me from this reading was how Bill is beginning to have a spiritual awakening, because, you know, if he was very skeptical about what Abby had to say, oh, yeah, right, you have God, so what? And then, but then he remembers Abby the way he used to be, and he sees a different Abby right now, that his power is not his, it's something coming from something else. Bill was very, did not believe in religion, and like knew about of religion, but did not believe in religion. And, but he sees now that this person is transformed. And so, and that's when he's starting, is kind of making, kind of turns the corner and starts to doubt some of his old ideas in regards to religion and spirituality. So, and for me was the same, because I grew up with a religion that was shoved on my throat, and I didn't quite have a higher power that was loving and forgiving. It was mostly fear-based, and it was important that everybody is letting me find the power of my own understanding. And, you know, it's the higher power is not me, but yet if I work the program, I live in 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis, I can embody my higher power. And my higher power is, when I embody my higher power, are those moments of compassion for others and myself, love, you know, forgiveness, understanding, clarity, the moments of awe and the moments of that I know that things are going to be okay no matter what. I am struggling with anxiety and depression right now, and I can struggle with anxiety and depression, and I have my higher power, because I am every day, I reach out to my 10-step community to do my 10-step, and I have an 11-step partner, and I do my prayers and listen to this meeting, and so the tools of this program are amazing. I have been abstinent for 8 months now, and I'm very, by the grace of God, I am very steady in my moods, and like I don't crave foods, and I don't crave everything, and that's only a power greater than myself was doing that. That was not me. And with that, I'll pass, and I keep coming back. Thank you so much for all. Without you, guys, I wouldn't have believed that there is a power greater than myself. You remind me every morning that there is, and all I have to do is do my footwork. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Elena C. We have time for maybe two more shares. Who would like to share?
Lorraine W.
Lorraine W.
Claire B.
I'm sorry, can you say your name again?
Clara B.
Clara Z. Thank you very much. Lorraine, please share with us.
Hi, my name is Lorraine. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Again, my name is Lorraine W., compulsive overeater outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in the beautiful fall foliage. And I am grateful for you all who are here today doing service, and grateful that there's a meeting to come to. And I'm grateful that we're on this paragraph because, as I, and I'm going to turn my phone down a little bit so it's not all that reverberation. This point in Bill's life, when he says, questions himself, had this power originated in EBT? Obviously it had not. He's witnessing a miracle. And he's witnessing that Abby didn't do it himself. And when I hear that, I remember I had an EBT. that came into one of my face-to-face meetings. That OAer and I had both entered the program around the same time, and I saw a clear, fresh face, and I just was in amazement. And I was not abstinent at the time. I was coming through the doors, but I wasn't doing anything. But she looked amazing. And I asked her what she had done. And she led me to these meetings. And she, pardon me, that's a beeper. She led me to these meetings, and she led me to a whole world of phone meetings. And I was in amazement at the recovery I was hearing in phone meetings. And not only that, she shared with me her experience, strength, and hope. And I got encouraged. And it was definitely, as like it says in the paragraph, she had no more power than I had. And I had none at all. But looking at her, I'm like, she has connected in. And I'm so grateful for that MBT in my life. I'm grateful that it was obvious, and I'm glad someone pointed out that word, the obviously, because I have to see it. I can hear about it, but I have to see it. And when I see it, and when I hear it, and when it resonates, I just go, wow, because I've been in bad relapse, and I was in a bad one until June, and I remember hitting my, quote, knees. I was actually sitting in a chair because I was super morbidly obese. I was very upset that I really was housebound. And I said, okay, God, what are we going to do? Because I don't know what else to do. And again, you know, the power greater than myself led people to reach out. I had one person, I hadn't heard from her in years, but she thought of me, reached out, and told me yet again, keep coming back. And I did. And I can declare for you today, I am 86 days abstinent. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm going to keep trudging along this way. But I think my trudging, I'm going to call it skipping. But I am grateful for the one day at a time approach that these 12 steps have. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Lorraine W. And Clara Z, I'm going to ask you to take 2 minutes for your share so we can end on time. Thank you. Clara Z, plus star one to unmute.
Hello, it's Claire B. My accent usually messes up my name. Claire B from Vancouver in Canada. 160 days ago, I found OA, and for the last 70, I've been abstinent. 160 days ago, I thought I was going to have to dodge the spiritual awakening. I didn't think it was something that would be possible for me. And from reading the Big Book and listening to people now sharing, I have had that. And I realize it's been the thing that's been missing for me. And I just feel very grateful every day that I get to have this program and I get to have the relief from those drives that were making life unmanageable. It's my first time at this phone meeting. And so thank you for letting me be here. And that's all I wanted to share. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Clara B. Please keep coming back. And is there anybody who wants to take a quick 1 minute share? Okay, we will begin.
Hi, it's Rella. I'll take a 1 minute share.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is Rella, recovering compulsive eater, recovering from many other compulsive behaviors. I just want to express my gratitude for this beautiful program that helps me get my feet on the ground and get me focused and my head screwed on straight for the day. I am struggling. I thank God I'm abstinent, but as I say, a little sloppy, affected by a lot of what's going on. I'm deeply porous and take it all in, but this program is definitely helping me maintain my sanity. Thank God. And I thank you all for your beautiful shares, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much for ending our meeting. Thank you. Okay. Thank you all who have shared and listened. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. And let's see, Margaret D., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you. May I be heard?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.